Hello, this is Spencer DeVries, lead pastor of the Well Fort Payne. Thank you so much for tuning into our podcast today. It's our hope and our prayer that every time you listen to one of our services, that your life is changed by the power of the Word of God. So I encourage you today, listen with open ears and an open heart. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly and receive it with gladness.
If you have your Bible, grab it, stand to your feet with me. Turn to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 12, we're going to read verses 1 and 2. As we turn there and as we look at this passage of Scripture, I want to talk to you today about finish strong. Finish strong. That's what we're going to focus on talking about today, and that's what I want to encourage you with. And so as we read the Word of God together, let's mix it with faith. In fact, the book of Hebrews talks about that, that as we read His Word, we should mix it with the faith that's been put inside of each and every one of us. And as we mix the Word of God with faith, listen, things begin to happen. Things begin to change in our life. And so let's read this in faith today together. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. If you don't have your Bible with you or you're not using your device, you can follow along on the screens. Here's what it says. Therefore, we also, look at your neighbor and say, that's us. We also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. And let us run how? With endurance. The race that is set before us. I want to tell you today, you are running a race. Every single one of us are running a race. There's a finish line that we will not get to until we cross from this life into the next. But as you are running a race, you need endurance for the race that God has set before you. He has a plan. He has a purpose. He has a destiny. He has great things. There's promises for you in this life, but you will not inherit them if you do not run with endurance. Listen to what verse 2 says, because this gives us the key. Because if you try to run in endurance without doing this that verse 2 tells us, guess what? You will quit. You will give up. Because here's what he says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross and despising the shame has sat down. That word, when he says he sat down, that means he finished it. He accomplished it. He completed it. He finished the work and he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Let's pray together today. Father, I pray that as we look to your word, that you would help us to run with endurance. That as we look to the word, I thank you that we're looking to Jesus and we want to keep our eyes fixed upon him, running this race in the way in which that as we compete, we will receive the prize. And so I pray that you would equip us, prepare us emotionally, mentally, spiritually to do everything that you've called us to do in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated today. As you're seated, I want to take you one more time through a quick journey of the scripture through the book of John, the Gospel of John, concerning what Hebrews calls, or who Hebrews calls, the finisher of our faith. I love that it says he's not just the author of your faith, he's the finisher of your faith. And because there was joy set before him, there were some things that he endured, like the cross, and he despised the shame. But now he's seated at the right hand of the Father, symbolizing and showing us that he came, he accomplished, and he went back to heaven. And so we are called to be people that are finishers. I want you to be somebody that you don't just start stuff, you finish stuff. And I want to show you this in the life of Jesus, in the book of John, because as we read through these scriptures, I'm going to give you them very quickly. You're going to see where Jesus was a finisher. Because in John chapter 4, verse 34, it says, Jesus said to them, my food, what he's saying is my fulfillment. I get sustenance, I get fuel, I get fed by doing the will of him who sent me. And not just to do it, but to finish his work. Jesus is saying, my life is fulfilled by finishing what God called me to do. If you feel unfulfilled in your life, you ever been in one of those seasons where you're like, maybe you're making good money, you're making good decisions, but there's just still something inside of you. You're not fulfilled. There's still an empty place inside of you. It's because somewhere you're not fulfilling the will of God and you're not finishing what he has called you and created you and purposed you to do. But Jesus said, my fulfillment, it's not just to do the will of him, not just to start the will, but to finish the will, to accomplish the will that my Father has. He goes on in chapter 5 and verse 36. He says, but I have a greater witness than John's, for the works which the Father has given me to finish. The very works that I do bear witness of me that the Father has sent me. Over in John chapter 17, Jesus is praying and he says to the Father, I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do. Aren't you thankful that Jesus didn't leave it incomplete? There's nothing worse. Maybe if you took a test and you answered, let's say there was 50 questions on the test and you answered 49 of them correctly, but one of them you did not answer, you know what you would get on your grade? Incomplete. You're not going to get a 99%. You know what you're going to get? Incomplete. But Jesus did not leave anything incomplete. He said, I came, I glorified you, and I finished everything that you have given me to do. And then when Jesus is hanging on the cross in the darkest moment of all history, in John chapter 19, verses 28 through 30, look at this. It says, after this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, he'd finished everything. Knowing that all things were accomplished, that scripture might be fulfilled, said, I thirst. Now a vessel full of sour wine was sitting there. They filled a sponge with sour wine, put it to his mouth. So when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, it is finished. And bowing his head, he gave up his spirit. I want you to see that we have a Savior that finished the work. The next time temptation comes knocking on your door, and trust me, it will because you're human. You know what you need to say? Remind yourself, it's finished. Yeah. Jesus defeated sin on the cross. It is finished. He didn't leave it incomplete. He didn't leave it undone. He completed the work that God sent him to do. And so when temptation comes, it's trying to draw me away, but I need to remind myself, it is finished. The next time that shame or condemnation or guilt tries to come against you, and listen, it will, because you're human and we're still living in this world, condemnation is going to try to get all over you. You know what you need to do? You need to remind condemnation, it was finished on the cross. Jesus took care of it once and for all. He defeated death, hell, and the grave. And I don't have to live here wondering if I'm going to go to hell. I can know with assurance that God has saved me and redeemed me because Jesus finished the work on the cross. The next time depression tries to come in and snatch your joy and pull you out of the will of God and get you down in the depths of despair, why don't you go ahead and declare the words that the Savior said when he was hanging on that cross, and you look at that depression in the face and you say, it is finished. Not just it is finished, you are finished. You don't have any right in my life. I serve you an eviction notice because Jesus completed that work on the cross. The next time that your heart is overwhelmed with sorrow, and listen, things are going to happen that are going to make you sad, get you down, that, you know, just you didn't want them to happen. You lost somebody, you lost something. Remind yourself of this and find solace in the fact it's finished. Yeah. Jesus finished the work. That's right. Because he's not just the author of my story. He's the finisher of my story. Listen, he's already accomplished the victory. He's already won the war. But I want you to get this today. Because he finished, you can finish. Because we could sit here all day and be like, praise God, Jesus finished. Listen, you still have a responsibility on your life to be a finisher as well. And if it were not for Jesus completing the work of the cross and accomplishing everything that the Father set out for him to do, you and I would not have the power to finish what it is that he calls us to do and put in on our life. But the Bible says that if the same Spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead lives inside of you, he will quicken, he will give life to your mortal body. So because Jesus finished and he overcame death, hell, and the grave, you and I can be finishers. Now, think about this for a moment. Nobody claps for the quitter, right? Right? Like Logan runs, he ran a marathon a few months ago, which is absolutely amazing, but he runs a lot of races. Now, when you come across, you know, everybody gathers around the finish line at those races and they clap for people and they cheer for people, right? And they're just like, it doesn't matter if they finished in, you know, whatever kind of race it is. What's a normal 5K time, Logan? Like a good one. What'd you run? That'd be a good one. 20, okay, not fair. Okay, 20 minutes, Let's say somebody finishes a 5K in 20 minutes. Everybody claps for him. Guess what? The guy that finished in an hour gets clapped for too, as long as he finishes. Everybody's standing around. They're cheering him on. Come on, don't give up. But nobody is back there at mile 2.4, and somebody's like, you know what? I've had enough. I'm done. I'm pooped. I can't go another step. I think I'm just going to quit. Nobody's over there going, go, John. Go. You quit. You did so good, man. I'm so proud of you for giving up, John. You're a great quitter. And I love you for the fact that you quit. Nobody claps for the quitter. And if they do, something is really, really wrong with them. Yeah. But you know what? Everybody claps for the finisher. Yeah. Nobody applauds the dropout, yeah. Right? Like, you did a great job. You didn't finish, but you competed, right? Like, nobody holds a ceremony of achievement for the person that gave up, right? Like, let's have a party. Why? Because he gave up. We're going to celebrate the fact that he gave up. No, you know what we do celebrate? People that finished. People that, even though they wanted to quit, they pressed through and they finished whatever goal it was ahead of them. So the next time you think about quitting and you feel like quitting, I want you to think of Jesus. How for the joy that was set before him, he despised the shame and he endured the cross. The most painful form of death that they had developed at that time. The Romans had it down to a science where they wanted to bleed out every ounce of pain that they possibly could out of your body. And Jesus endured that kind of pain. Why? Because of the joy that was set before him. Remind yourself, there's a joy that is set before me, and there is a work, and there's a will, and there's a destiny that God wants me to accomplish. And so I am not going to quit, and I'm not going to throw in the towel. I'm not going to give up. You see, for Jesus, it wasn't easy, but he knew. When I accomplish everything that the Father has set out for me to do, and when I finish it, that is the only way that mankind can be restored to the Father. And so he looked to that joy. He had a vision. His goals were this: pleasing God and redeeming mankind. And so remember, when you set out to do something, keep the vision that God has for you ahead of you. Despise the shame. Endure the tribulation. Back in January, as a church, we talked about Vision to Victory. How many of you guys remember that series, Vision to Victory? I felt on my heart that as we stepped into a new season, a new year, 2023, new year, new me, that God would have us to talk about having a vision for victory. Because listen, I want you to know from the front to the back, side to side, God's plan for your life is victory in every single area of your life. But if you don't get his vision for the victory, you'll end up trying to do it in your own strength and you won't be able to accomplish it. So we took a whole month and we talked about vision to victory. Well, guess what? God's vision for victory in your life didn't expire on January the 31st. It's not milk and it's not eggs. It doesn't go out and it doesn't expire. If he spoke it and if he had it implanted in your heart to do, it is still good right now today as it was back then when he spoke it to you. Now, do you realize that as of today, there are 182 days left in 2023. That means that you have lived 183 days in this year. So, for those of you that are very challenged at math, like myself, there's less days left than we have lived this year. Okay? For the first time, today. Last night at midnight was the exact middle of 2023. Some of y'all were sleeping, didn't even know it, if you're like me. We are at the point where we have just crossed over from yesterday to today where there's less time left in 2023 than what we have lived. Now, why is that important? Because I want to encourage you to finish strong. It's easy to get motivated in January to have vision for victory, to make some healthy decisions in your life, to want to make a difference. Maybe in January you were like, you know what? What I really want to do is I want to make a difference in my children's life. I want to make a difference on my job. I want to make a difference in my community. Let me remind you today, you can still finish strong in that vision. You can still have that desire and you can still accomplish it. You might have gotten off track somewhere, or maybe you've been going and maybe you just need somebody to come alongside of you. Just like when you're running a marathon, they need those people along the sides telling them, don't quit, don't give up, keep going, handing them a cup of water. Well, today, this sermon is me standing to you on your marathon of 2023 saying, don't give up, don't quit. This is a fresh drink of water. I want to remind you that he who has begun a good work in you will be faithful to complete it even until the day of Jesus Christ. 2023 is not over yet. You're only halfway there and you cannot quit. Don't give up on the dreams and the callings and the destiny and the hopes and the joys that God has placed inside of you. Don't wander through the rest of this year and waste your time. Get a fresh fire. Get a fresh vision to be like Jesus, to be a finisher. That he didn't give up when it got difficult. He said, Lord, if it's possible, make this cup pass from me. But nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. I want you to remember right now, I want you to begin to think. Think about the things that God spoke to you and showed you regarding your family, right? Maybe in January, I'm sorry, it's hot in here, y'all. Maybe in January, you sat down and you got a notebook and you wrote dreams and visions and goals down for your family. Anybody do that? Come on. Where are you at? Okay, nobody, just me? Okay, all right. Maybe you sat down. Hopefully you sat down and you were like, in 2023, this is our goal. We want to pay off our car. We want to see our children get saved or to get baptized. We want to see this prodigal child come home. I want to lead someone to the Lord at work. I want to step into a new level of generosity or giving. Hopefully you took some time at the beginning of this year and not just off the top of your head, but you really sought God, Lord, because without vision, people perish. And so maybe if you're in a place where you're perishing today, maybe you just need to start all over with getting some vision. And guess what? He'll give you vision in July, just like he'd give you vision in January. But if you've lost sight of the vision, this is your flashing sign to say, get back on the path. Get back on what God called you to do and spoke to you. So remember the things that he showed you. I'm going to do this in your family. I'm going to do this in you for your life. And your calling and your destiny, who he is. And you need to go home. You need to light a candle. You need to put Auld Lang Syne on. You know, should all acquaintance be forgot. That's what people play at New Year's Day. And you need to just listen to that song and be like, I'm going to write down some mid-year resolutions. Because you wrote down New Year's resolutions, and hopefully you've kept them. But from my point of view, some of you guys didn't do so good on some of those New Year's resolutions about getting in the gym and not drinking so many Dr. Peppers, right? But you can make some mid-year's resolutions and decide, you know what? I'm going to finish strong in 2023. I'm not going to waver. I'm not going to wander. I'm not going to falter off. If God spoke something to you at the beginning of this year about being more engaged in your children's life, here's your wake-up call. Leave your phone on the counter and put it on do not disturb mode. Because if God spoke something to you, listen to me, you can't afford to miss it. Because when he speaks something to you, it's so that you can grow, so that you can be better, and so that you can help other people. And so if in January you were like, you know what, one thing I want to do is I want to be, when I come home from work, I want to be at home. I don't want to be so focused on what's going on at work or what's happening on Facebook or what's happening on the news. I want to be at home. Well, this is your reminder. Finish strong this year because you only have your children for so long. My oldest son turned 10 this year, and I had a realization by Junior Holy Spirit, which is my wife. We were talking about that the other day. Sometimes your wife, gentlemen, you understand, she is the voice of the Holy Spirit in your life, right? She said something. As Judah turned 10, she said, do you realize that Judah probably has less time at home than we've had him to date? Because he'll probably move out at 18 years old. And so we are now on the side where the hourglass that's been tipped over has less in the top than it does in the bottom when it comes to him being in our house. Now, he can stay until he's 19, but that's when he's got to go, right? There comes a point, I'm like, now Zoe can stay as long as she wants. She is welcome, princess. Your room is your room. No one will ever take it to you. But as soon as my boys turn 18, it's like, boy, you've been looking for a job? You got an apartment yet? You got a place to go? Because if you don't, you better start looking, son. I'm just kidding. I would never do that to my children. Yes, I would. I'm not kidding. You found a woman yet, right? I mean, like, you need to get on this, right? If not, I'll find one for you, boy. No, I'm just kidding. All right. But think about this. If God spoke something to you about maybe being healthier, and he will. Listen, sometimes we want God to stay out of our diet, right? But listen, maybe he spoke something to you because he knows if you continue on the journey that you're on, it's going to be a detriment to you. Well, maybe you did good through March, and then you just fell off the wagon. Get back on the wagon. Listen, just because you stopped doesn't mean you can't start again. It's not a, you know, just you failed, you're done. That's the cool thing about grace. Is God is giving you a reminder today of the things that he spoke to you. Remember how clear it was in January? Oh, I got so much vision for the family, and we're going to do family devotions every night, and we're going to eat healthier, and we're going to save more, and we're just going to do so much better. And that lasted for all of like 8 weeks, and now here you are. But guess what? You can start again.
That's right.
You're at the time where you need to decide, I am going to finish strong. Maybe you had a desire at the beginning of the year. You know what? This year, I'd like to change jobs. I'd like to get a better job. I'd like to get a more fulfilling job. I'd like to get a job where I feel like I'm actually making a difference and I'm helping people. And then maybe you just got comfortable and you stayed where you are, even though God told you it's time to go. Let me remind you, God spoke to Abraham. He said, get out of your family, get out of the place that you're from, to the land that I will show you, and I will make you a great nation. Sometimes it takes stepping out in faith and doing something that nobody else understands. But listen, God won't meet you in the place of blessing till you get out of the place that he's told you to get out of.
Right.
And so maybe God spoke that to you in January and you've been dragging your feet. Well, I'm going to tell you like I'm going to tell Judah when he's 18 years old. It's time to go. It's time to get out from your family. Y'all, I'm joking. Y'all think I'm the meanest dad in the world. I love my children. I just can't wait till they're independent, right?
Amen.
Y'all look at me like you've never felt like all the parents are like, oh, he's a terrible parent. I just want my children to live with me forever. Well, good luck with that. That's between you and God. I tell you today, finish strong. Now, a lot of people ask God for a word for the year, especially ladies. Every time a guy tells me, he's like, God gave me a word for the year, I'm like, okay, all right, that's okay, that's good too. But especially, I don't know why women love having a word for the year. Just the women, men don't answer. How many women, y'all ask God for a word for the year at the beginning of the year? Just be honest with me, okay? I see quite a few hands. Yeah, like, yeah, I want to, Lord, my word is going to be steadfast for the year, right? And they write it on the top of their journal and they're like, they post on Facebook, my word for the year is steadfast. I'm going to be steadfast and immovable for the Lord, and which is great. I'm kind of tongue in cheek, but I think it's actually a really good thing to do, okay? Because you need vision for your life, okay? So I'm not actually knocking on it. My actual question is this. When was the last time you thought about that word? Past February 1. Past when you got that journal out and you wrote steadfast in that pretty cursive all across the top of that page, right? Think about it. Because if he spoke it to you then, he still wants to fulfill it in you now. And so remember those things. Stay focused. Let me remind you what the psalmist said in Psalm 65, verse 11. It says, he crowns the year with his goodness.
Yeah.
And his paths drip with abundance. Now, let me point something out to you. Let's break this down. He doesn't just crown the beginning of the year with his goodness.
Yeah.
But we love to look at stuff like that and like, oh, 2023, God, you have crowned this year with your goodness. It's going to be a year of goodness. It's going to be a year of blessing. And then here we are in July, beat down, frustrated, depressed, wondering where all the motivation that we had at the beginning of the year went. I'm here to remind you today, he has crowned the whole year with his goodness. Why? Because he's good. He's good on the good days. He's good on the bad days. Our situations do not change his goodness. He is crowned this year with his goodness. And his paths, listen to this, even in July, they're still dripping with abundance. They're still there. The Lord, as David said, the Lord is my shepherd. Guess what? I won't lack anything.
Yeah.
I want to speak that over you today. You maybe at the beginning of the year, you were trusting God. God, you're my provider in 2023. I want to remind you today, his paths are still dripping with abundance. If he is your shepherd, you shall not lack. When you stay in his vision, guess what? You'll be blessed with provision. Because provision is always linked to vision. When you get the vision of God and you walk in it, He'll make sure you have everything that you need to walk it out. And so God's provision is always linked to His vision for your life. So what I want you to do is run a diagnostics test on yourself. Allow the Holy Spirit to search you and ask yourself, where have I gotten off course? From the vision that God gave me at the beginning of the year, when I was so sure He was going to lead me in victory. It was going to be a great year. It was going to be a blessed year. It was going to be an awesome year. I was going to do this. I was going to do that. Where have you gotten off course of that? Because listen, God's mind hasn't changed. Right. When God speaks something, it's eternal and it's full of life. And so you can't be thinking, well, I think God might have changed His mind. Maybe I need to go this way. No, if He spoke it, He will be faithful to complete it. Okay? And so we've got to realize, where have I gotten off course? Because God hasn't changed course, but we will at times get off course. Where have I stopped doing what He instructed me to do? Because newsflash, you have 182 days left in 2023. Don't waste them. Finish strong. Paul wrote to Timothy in his second letter to him in the 4th chapter and the 7th verse, and here's what he said. I, speaking of himself, have fought the good fight. I have finished the race, and I have kept the faith. So the same man in the Apostle Paul that told us to imitate Him as He imitated Christ is showing us that just like Jesus was a finisher, He was a finisher. He said, I finished. I didn't stop short. I didn't give up. They beat me. They ridiculed me. They didn't understand me. I was shaken. I was pressed on every side. I was persecuted, but you know what? I was never abandoned, and I finished the race that God set out before me. I didn't come behind lacking in anything. Jesus was a finisher. Paul was a finisher, and that's who we are to imitate. I think it's safe to say that we should have a desire inside of us, no matter how small something is or how big something is, to decide, I'm going to be a finisher. And let me remind you of this. Sometimes we let the little things go. It's the little foxes that spoil the vines. No matter how small that God spoke something to you, be obedient in that thing. Because listen, if you'll finish that, if you'll be faithful in the little, He'll make you steward over much. And so if you're faithful to finish what's small, it is setting you up. It's equipping you, training you, and preparing you to finish the large things that are ahead of you. And I want you to equip you with this knowledge today. It might be a fight, but keep fighting. Remember what Paul said? He said, I have fought the good fight. He didn't just get beat up. He fought back. Yeah. There's going to be times in life when you're going to have to fight back because life's trying to beat you up, but you decide, you know what? Greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. I'm not throwing in the towel. I'm not giving up. I am going to be faithful to finish because Jesus, who is living on the inside of me, was faithful to finish, and He's going to empower me, and He's going to help me to finish. There will be days that are harder than others. There's going to be some days that you're like, man, this is pretty easy. And there's going to be some days that you're like, what was I ever thinking trying this? Did I miss God? Listen, don't give up. Keep trusting the faithful God that gave His Son so that you could overcome. Listen, here's something that I've realized is that the days are long, but the years are short. You ever notice that? Sometimes it's like from last Sunday to this Sunday, it seems like I lived 3 weeks. You ever had a week like that before? I didn't have a bad week. It just seems like it was a really long time ago. But when I look back and I realize that January 1 was 183 days ago, I'm like, well, that seems like it was just yesterday. Because the days are long, but the years are short. So it can happen in a flash. Life can just pass you by. So that's why you need to stay focused on the vision that God has for your life. Stay focused on, God, what's the big picture that You're trying to get me to accomplish? And how do I accomplish it every single day and be faithful to be obedient to what You've called me to do? I want you to listen to what the writer of Hebrews says in Hebrews chapter 10, in verse 35. This is so important that we keep this in mind as believers. He says, therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. You remember the confidence that you had at the beginning of 2023? How great of a year it was going to be? How are you doing 183 days in? You still got that same confidence? Hopefully you do. If you don't, it's time to get it back. You ever heard that phrase, they need to get their mojo back? Or maybe you're like me and you enjoy sports and there will be a player that he'll go into a slump. He used to be great, but now he's kind of struggling. All of a sudden, athletes that are great athletes, they don't give up, they don't quit, they keep training, they keep showing up, they keep pushing themselves, and one day, because of the athletic ability that's inside of them and all the training that they've put in, it will click again, and they'll come back, and they'll be just as good, if not better, than they were before. Why? What happened is they sometimes just need to get their confidence back. Maybe a basketball player, he lost his three-point shooting, or maybe a golfer, he lost his ability to putt, or maybe a baseball player, he's in a slump, and he used to hit over 300, now he's hitting in the 230s. All of a sudden, what will happen is they'll get their confidence back. I'm telling you today, you need to get your confidence back, not in yourself, but in the word that God has spoken to you of who he's called you to be. Do not cast away your confidence. I'm reminding you of that today. I can tell as I look at some of you today that you're lacking that confidence. Listen, it's okay to be confident of who you are in Christ Jesus. You can walk in confidence. You can be a conqueror. You can be an overcomer. You can accomplish everything that God has called you to do. But you won't if you cast away your confidence. He says, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. Verse 36, for you have need of endurance. Now, this is the same writer that two chapters later tells us to run our race with endurance. So he's already telling us beforehand that we have need of endurance. So that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. In verse 38, he says, now the just shall live by faith. This is so important. But if anyone draws back, my soul, this is God speaking, takes no pleasure in him. If anyone draws back, listen, it's not time to draw back. It's time to press on. It's not time to go backwards. It's time to move forward. He says, yet for a little while, and he who is coming will not tarry. I already read that. Excuse me. Verse 39. But we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but those who believe to the saving of the soul. The writer's saying this, the same thing that I'm saying to you this morning. You need to keep going. You need to keep finish. You need to finish strong. Don't cast away your confidence. You need endurance so that once you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. He said, we're not of those who draw back. I'm telling you today, we as the children of God are not those who go back on the promises that he's made to us. We're not those that fall short. We're not those that quit, that give up. We are those who press on. And I can feel a little bit of resistance today because there all of us face times in our life where we don't want to keep going. And when you don't want to keep going and somebody's telling you to keep going, there's this internal battle that's inside of you that you're like, but I don't want to keep going. And I can feel that today. You're like, I don't want to keep going. I'm tired. I want to coast. It's summertime. I want to go on vacation. I want to lounge around the pool. I'm not saying that those things in and of themselves are bad, but you cannot allow yourself to lose focus and to drift away from who God has called you to be. You have got to press on if you're going to receive the promise that God has for you in your life. You know why? Because we don't do participation trophies in the kingdom. Amen. We don't. Jesus said, anyone who puts his hand to the plow and looks back, they're not fit for the kingdom of God. That shows me we don't do participation trophies in the kingdom of God. If you endure to the end, Jesus said, guess what? You'll be saved. If you endure to the end. That's why the writer of Hebrews said, you have need of endurance. It's a necessity in your life as a believer in Jesus Christ that you would have perseverance inside of you and that you know how to finish. Now, why am I making such a big deal out of this? Because I want you to receive the promises. And you won't if you fall short. You won't if you give up. You won't if you quit. You won't if you throw in the towel. I want you to walk in the paths that drip with abundance. I want you to experience the goodness that he has crowned 2023 with. Maybe you started this year hot, you know, new year, new me. And you had a desire. I'm going to do better. I'm going to be better. I'm going to seek God like never before. Well, maybe you never got that going to begin with. Maybe it was you had good intentions, but you didn't follow through. Or maybe you started well, but somewhere you got off path and you're lacking and you've become lackadaisical. Either way, today is a turning point in the year. Today, last night was the middle point. Today is the time that you have to finish. Listen, I don't care how good you start off the blocks in a marathon. What really matters is do you cross the finish line? That's right. And the year that we're living in, and I understand that God's timings and God's seasons transcend our calendar, but he does work within means that we can understand and realms that we can get. And he does have a plan for your life in 2023. I love, in fact, when it says, in the year of our Lord, whatever the year is. I want to declare over you today, this is the year of the Lord for your life. No one has respect for people that don't follow up on what they say they're going to do. You ever had somebody make a promise to you and you knew it was empty the moment it was coming out of their mouth? You know? Why are you laughing, Jeff? I'm just playing with you. You know, someone's like, yeah, man, we're going to get together and we're going to go fishing sometime. And you're just sitting there thinking, no, we're not. I used to have this guy all the time. That he'd be like, yeah, man, let's get together for lunch. And I'm like, we ain't ever getting together for lunch. I know we're not getting together for lunch. I know that's hot air as it's coming out of your mouth. Now, I didn't say that because I'm a nice guy. But inside, I knew there is no way on earth we're ever getting together for lunch. Because it's just not going to happen. Nobody, that's not the type of person that you hold in high esteem and you go, you know what? I just respect the socks off of that guy because he never keeps his word. What a great guy, right? He's awesome. No, you don't hold people like that in high regard. No one's like, you know what? Hank's a good guy. He told me he'd help me move. And then when it came time to move, he wasn't there. He's a great guy, right? Because you don't build your perspective of people off of their intentions. You build your perspective of people off of what they actually do. Do they do what they said that they would do? Will they be there when they said they'd be there? Will they be integral and full of character? And will they be someone that I can count on and that they would give me a hand? No, we brag and we celebrate people that show up and come through. That's the type of people that we really hold in high regard. And that's what Hebrews is saying. He's saying God isn't pleased with people that commit to doing the right thing. He's pleased with people that actually follow through with doing the right thing. And I'm telling you, don't just commit to be a finisher. Actually be a finisher. Don't just talk a good game. Don't just say that everything, you know, that you know the things that God told you and he spoke over you. Don't just tell your family, I'm going to be a better dad this year. I'm going to be a better husband this year. Don't just decide. Don't just say, I want to be a better, you know, employee this year. Actually do it. That's where things begin to change. That's where things begin to come through. The Bible says that if he doesn't take, he says, my soul has no pleasure in them. So what does that mean? That means that his soul does take pleasure in those that are finishers. Those that are completers. Why? Because when he looked down on the cross and Jesus finished it, I believe that God was never more pleased with anyone or anything ever in all of humanity than when he looked on his son. Even though it was painful, he had to turn his face away for a moment. I believe that he was still pleased with his son because he finished what he'd asked him to do. And so I encourage you today, don't shrink back. Don't be a person that quits. Why? Because that's not the type of person that you are. Remember what Hebrews said. We are not of those who shrink back. That's the same thing as saying, we don't do that. We have a saying in my household is, DeVries don't quit. Right? Like, I try to teach my boys that. I try to teach Zoe that. That we're DeVries and we don't quit. No matter how much we're getting beat by, no matter how hard things get, we are not going to be quitters. Because I believe that's what Hebrews is saying. We're not the type of people that shrink back. And so we have to believe that we are finishers through Christ Jesus. So I say over you today, you're not a quitter. You're a finisher. You aren't lazy. You're full of the power of the Holy Spirit who will empower you and strengthen you to do everything that he called you and created you to be. You are not a person who draws back. You're a person who presses on. I encourage you to receive this today. The same passion that you had at the beginning of the year, to be better, to do more, to serve God, to love God, to give more, to be more involved in church, to be more involved in your children's life, to be more effective in the kingdom, and to spread the gospel more. Guess what? You can have that same kind of fire and passion today. Finish strong. No matter if you got off course, no matter if you never started to begin with, today's a new day, and we are choosing and deciding we are going to finish strong. Do you believe that today? Can you stand to your feet with me? I want to ask you today if you're willing to make a fresh commitment to finish strong to join me in the altar. You don't have to wait. Just come on right now. If you're saying, I'm a finisher, I'm not ashamed of it. I'm not scared of finishing. I am going. It doesn't matter how hard it gets. It doesn't matter how bad it looks. I am making a fresh commitment to God and in front of people today. I'm going to be a finisher. I'm not losing hope. I'm not going to stop believing that God is able to do what he said he would do. Listen, everybody thought Abraham was crazy. Right? Everybody thought he was wild. Why would you leave your family? Why would you do that? Because God had spoken it to him. And if God has spoken something to you, it doesn't matter what anybody else thinks. You choose and you decide today, I'm a finisher. I am going to follow through with what it is that God has called me and created me to do. Can we put on some ministry track music, Shane? Thank you, sir. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me today and just lift your hands? Father, in the position of surrender this morning, we surrender to your will for our life. We want to finish what you spoke to us. God, I pray that you would remind us of the things that we've forgotten, Holy Spirit. The things that you spoke to us, the things that we were so sure at the beginning of the year were going to come to pass. I thank you that because you're faithful, we can be faithful. I thank you that even when we've been faithless, you have remained faithful because you cannot deny yourself. And I speak to your people today. They are not of those who draw back, but those who believe to the saving of the soul. I pray for a fresh anointing and a fresh outpouring of the presence of God to press into the things that you are calling us to do. And I thank you for a fresh commitment and a fresh fire to say, you know what? I'm going to walk in everything that God has called me to walk in. I'm going to do everything that God has called me to do. That's what it said of David. He said, I have found one who is after my own heart, who will do all of my will. And Lord, I pray for those of us today that are here, that have heard your voice, have heard your call, have received revelation and vision from you, I pray that you would help us to do all of your will. Not one jot, one non-tittle will fall away, but I pray that you would help us to accomplish the words that you have spoken in our life. And I know with assurance that you will be faithful to help us to do that. So I pray for fresh vision today. I pray for fresh fire today. Lord, I pray that just like sometimes we need to stop, and I just feel right now as Elijah was out in the wilderness and the angel came to him and he said, arise, eat and drink because the journey's too great for you. I want to tell you this, even though the journey of God is great, it's too great for you to do on your own. And I speak to you today, fresh filling of the bread of life, of the fresh drink of water that can come only by the Holy Spirit, that you would be filled fresh and anew. To go in the strength of what he is empowering you to do and to walk in the Holy Spirit to accomplish everything that he has placed and spoken upon your life. I declare for you today, you are a finisher. You're not a quitter. You're not a loser. You're not a dropout. You're not someone who gives up, but you are someone that presses on to the saving of the soul. And I declare you will finish 2023. And I declare over this church, we will end 2023 stronger than we started it. And we will walk in the fulfillment of who you've called us and created us as the body of Christ to be. I pray that you would equip every single one of us to advance the kingdom of God, whether in our home, at our job, in this church, out in the community. I speak today, we're going to be finishers. We're going to finish just going to fall across the finish line. We're going to finish strong. We're going to kick it into another gear. God, at the rate that we've been seeking you, we want to seek you more. We want to seek you earnestly. We want to love you with all of our heart, our soul, our mind, and our strength. And we want to love people with passion. We want to love people like you love people. And so I pray that you would equip us today with that. We give ourselves to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you lift your hands and receive this blessing? May the Lord bless you and keep you. Cause his face to shine upon you, be gracious unto you, lift up his countenance upon you. May he keep you in his peace, may he smile all over you. And may you be a finisher, not drawing back to perdition, but believing to the saving of the soul. Just as Paul said, I fought the good fight. I finished the race. And he said, I kept the faith. I speak this over you today. Faith is the key. Faith is the key. Staying in faith that he will be faithful and that he will lead us into everything that he promised for us. May we not neglect the faith that God has put inside of us, but we walk by faith and not by sight. And I declare that over you today in Jesus' name. Amen. We love you guys. Be blessed. Hope you have an awesome week.